views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm so glad to be here today. And, you know, it's October, the leaves on the oak tree across from my street are red and yellow, and the wind is blowing a little bit, and we're getting fog at night. I just love it, get to hear the fog horn, because we're kind of near Puget Sound, and I love that. So what we're going to be talking about today is something that we kind of all are dealing with, the passing of our loved ones. I think especially in my age group, the baby boomers, we are starting to lose friends, we're losing our parents, so I know a lot of people who are dealing with grief and all that, and their loved ones passing over. I know for me, losing a close friend this summer, it's left me kind of perplexed on the topic of death, how someone can be here one day and they're just gone the next, and so we're going to talk a little bit about this. What happens? Today my guest is Roberta Grimes, author of The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next. Roberta Grimes had two extraordinary experiences of light as a child. In an attempt to understand her experiences, she has spent decades studying nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from the dead and other afterlife-related evidence. Through this research, she assembled an in-depth understanding of who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. So she's learned so much about this death process in the period immediately following death that in 2010 she published a brief summary of the best information in her book, The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next. And then she's coming out with a second book about afterlife, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and that will document the many ways in which the dead contact us and the wonderful recent research is making it easier for us to contact them. So Roberta Grimes is also a business attorney, a novelist and speaker from Austin, Texas, and is also publishing a 7-novel series of powerful love stories. And she's on the governing board of the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies. And we're so glad to have her on the show today. So welcome, Roberta.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for letting me share your afternoon.
Yes. Well, tell us your story, how you came to explore what happens when we die.
Well, when I was 8 years old, I woke up in the middle of the night and realized there's no God and was terrified. And there was a flash of brilliant white light in the room. 60 years later, it feels like it just happened last night. That's how this kind of experience is permanent in your mind. A young male voice said, "You wouldn't know what it is to have me if you didn't know what it is to be without me. I will never leave you again." And I thought that was really handy, because, of course, when you're 8, everything is amazing, so nothing is. If you forget, they remind you, and I went back to sleep. But I, of course, never forgot what that was, never talked about it, never asked a question, therefore never got an answer. Majored in religion at Smith College, which actually was not such a screwy major back then there. A lot of people were doing strange majors. But I still never ask a question, you never get an answer. So when I was 20, I again had an experience in which the light appeared. This time I was just sitting down. It was full daylight, so I was fully awake then. Same voice said, "I will never leave you." So I wanted to know where that came from, because apparently it only happened to me. I have since learned, of course, it does happen to other people, but I didn't know that at the time, and I had to know what that was. That's what got me started, trying to understand what's behind the curtain. since clearly something is when that kind of thing happens to you.
Yes, yes. And I imagine as an 8-year-old, it can be a little startling, although sometimes maybe they're more that they're a child's innocence and purity wouldn't question it so much as an adult in a way. It was a different experience as an adult than as an 8-year-old?
Well, I had had it happen before. So it felt to me like confirmation. You know, you were very young when the first time this happened. Maybe you don't remember it as you need to remember it. Therefore, we're going to do it to you again and let you know that it wasn't stupid to major in religion. It isn't stupid to take this seriously. This is real. If I only had had it happen at 8, I probably still would have done this investigation, but I wouldn't have had the same conviction about it that I have now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your research, you know, the evidence that you've, well, first, just what's your premise of about death? Let's just start there.
Well, I think this is, you know, anything that's true should be something you could investigate scientifically. And there are various scientific ways to investigate things. I used simply evidence. I'm an attorney. I'm used to looking at how to get to facts. So I started by researching nearly 200 years of communications from the dead. We have a lot of communications, the best of which came before 1950. They came through deep trance mediums, channels, and automatic writing. And some of them are amazingly detailed. And in many cases with deep trance mediums, the people in the room were able to validate everything that the dead person said through the medium. This is very different from psychic mediums who are basically mind reading with their guides, who are mind reading with the dead. There's like a step that you don't have to worry about with a deep trance medium because you're talking right to the control, and that control is right there with your loved one. There, it gets the medium herself out of the way. And what I found was, in reading hundreds of these communications, they were all talking about the same stuff, the same physics, the same details, the same kind of life, the same things people do, the same facts. I have never found an outlier in all these decades of reading this stuff. It's all real. It has to be. The odds against chance for so many communications received at different times and in different ways to be so identical in terms of what they described, those odds are incalculable. So I knew then it had to be real.
And then there's also the research on the near-death experiences, too, where people come back and share what they went through.
Near-death experiences are interesting. I know that they're the focus of attention, but in fact, the evidence indicates pretty strongly that people who have near-death experiences never actually die. They are proof that the mind could easily exist separate from the body. And they're proof that often they'll meet their own dead relatives. But the only thing you really prove is that you certainly can exist apart from your body. And the reason is, of course, that your body doesn't generate your mind to begin with. But they don't tell us anything about what the afterlife is, because the place where these people go, while it's at the vibratory level of the afterlife, it's not where our dead are. In fact, people who have really intense near-death experiences will get to a place where they'll be told, if you go any farther, you will be dead and you won't be able to go back. They don't mix people who are actually dead with people who are only out of their bodies.
Okay, and you hear that in the stories, that they're given that choice.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Some people are given that choice to, can go back, or you can, you know. Or they're told, you need to go back because you still have work to do.
Yes, this wasn't your time. Before we're born, we do a life plan with the people who are going to be important in our lives and our guides and their guides, and we take it very seriously. And it's meant to be hard. This is like going to the gym, having a life on Earth. We can't really learn and grow spiritually in the same way in the afterlife, because life there is so joyous and easy, and we know the truth there. But if you're here and you don't really know what's going on, and your mother-in-law is terrible and your boss fires you and your wife divorces you and, you know, you have an illness and all these bad things happen, you think, oh, no, that's bad. But you're basically in the gym. You're strengthening your love and forgiveness muscles, and these people and these situations are the gym equipment. That's all it is.
Yeah, I have a spiritual teacher. We call it, it's school. We're here, you know, we're here to learn something.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. That's another way to put it, and I often do as well. You're absolutely right. It's school. And it's
and
only,
yet,
not a good day in school either, really.
I know, and we're really slow.
We're hitting each other over the head with blocks.
Yeah, and I think we're pretty slow learners, too, on this plane.
Very, yes. And I think that the fact that, and it's pretty clear that at the start of the 20th century, an attempt was made, a very serious attempt, to get us to understand what was going on, and that was stonewalled by mainstream science. But the same kind of attempt is being made at the start of this century, and I think this time it's going to work. But they want us now to know the truth, I think, for a variety of reasons, one of which is it doesn't seem to take away your wish to learn. Instead, it really motivates you to learn and to make the most of this lifetime.
Yes, and that's, I think, one of the messages in your book is what, you know, to pay attention to what we're here. And we probably have our own individual things we have to learn. We put ourselves into circumstances for our learning, which is painful. But, you know, kind of, you know how you feel when you get through it? You go, oh, okay, that was what that all was about.
Yeah. I mean, in my own life, the worst things that ever happened turned out to be the best things. That's not always the case, but surprisingly often it is. And everything that happens is really directed around learning to love and forgive. We all, as you say, we all have different aspects of that to learn. And there's evidence that people who kill themselves because they just can't face some life issue, especially at midlife, what they will do is they'll plan a much harder, that lesson much harder. Oh, you didn't like your mother-in-law? Well, in the next lifetime, your mother-in-law will murder your children. You'll have to learn to like her then. That, I don't know why we do that to ourselves, but we do. So it's a good idea to sort of face whatever happens in this lifetime and don't kill yourself over it, because the problem with killing yourself is your mind cannot die. So you'll turn around and come back and do it, mm-hmm. only do it harder.
Yeah, in some way or another, that'll be, you keep doing this schooling until you get it.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, this is Christina. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll be right back in a moment and share more with Roberta Grimes.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
The Women of Wisdom Fall Festival is right around the corner. Join them at the North Seattle Community College Conference Center, October 11th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Free admission. Festivities include a silent auction, healers, educational booths, delicious food, and a variety of vendors. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womenofwisdom.org.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Roberta Grimes. And you just heard the advertisement for our Fall Harvest Festival. It's tomorrow. I'm so excited. There is amazing artist stuff, and there's going to be clothing. There's going to be there's these fun felt-made shoes that look like little elf shoes. I mean, it's just, you know, and jewelry and so many great things. Plus, get your tarot reading or astrology reading. You know, maybe you'll get some new, you know, some info for what you need to be working on in the next year. I always love that. Okay, Roberta, we're back on. So let's talk about, you know, the evidence of that afterlife. You know, what happens when we die?
Well, I'm not the only one who studied this. In fact, there are some people I really revere whose work I didn't find until after I had independently come to all the same conclusions. So what I'm telling you is what a whole body of researchers have come to basically the same conclusions about. Reality is structured very much the way a TV broadcast spectrum is structured. It's all in the same place. If you turn a TV on, you can turn it to any of 50 channels. And that TV is your mind. And right now, your mind is tuned to this level of reality, which we think is the lowest, but we're not sure, and to that body on this level of reality. That's how finely these gradations work. You think you're in that body, but you're not. You're just picking it up like a TV signal. When you die, your mind simply tunes like a television to a higher vibratory rate, and there you pick up a whole new, equally solid reality. It looks remarkably Earth-like, actually. In fact, it looks Earth-like but gorgeous. The colors, you've not seen those colors because they're beyond the visible light spectrum. It's always daylight, but the sky, they usually report, is pink. And it's beautiful. It's got mountains, it's got gardens, beautiful flowers, beautiful trees, and lovely people. Lovely buildings. It's beautiful there, but it's perfectly solid, and it's exactly where we are now.
Well, what do you mean, exactly where we are now?
Just as if you turned on that television, you wouldn't move the TV. You're tuning it to channel 4, and it looks like you have a solid reality there on your TV set, or a complete reality. And these could all be, of course, let's assume live broadcasts. You're on channel 4, you're picking up a live news program, and then you tune it to channel 7, and you're picking up a live football show, a football game. That's how it works. Now, how can it work? Well, I go into more detail about this in The Fun of Dying, but essentially, we think this is a solid reality, but it's really not. Molecules are made up of atoms. All the atoms are made up of particles. They call them particles, but when they get inside them, they find out they're all just vortices of energy. Matter is basically whirling energy. And so therefore, energy, Carlo Rovelli is a physicist who said, a quantum physicist. He said, the thing about energy is that an infinite number of energy waves can exist in the same place. And in fact, that's true, because here we all are, and here the dead are exactly where we are. I'm sorry, I don't mean to freak you out, but that's...
No, I know, but exactly where we are is sort of a little confusing for people. And it's just, but you're talking about, and it's a level, I think it's a matter from reading your book, a matter of vibration.
Yes, exactly right. Higher vibrations exist in the same place, just as higher TV channels exist in the same place as lower ones.
So what about, can you hear talk about like bleed-throughs? Because if we are in the same place but we're different vibrations, those dimensions bleeding through to one another, does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes, that can happen. I'll tell you another thing that can happen, because I think your mind is not sufficiently boggled. There is no such thing as objective time or objective space. Those things, they're illusions of this one level of reality where we live. And the higher level beings tell us pretty consistently that, yes, there is reincarnation, but we cannot understand it with our sort of primitive earthly understanding, because all our lifetimes are happening at once. I frequently hear stories about lead-throughs from people's other lifetimes that actually are happening simultaneously. And that's perfectly understandable if we understand that it's all happening at the same time. There is no time.
Yeah, I've been experiencing something unusual in that regard. I feel like, oh, am I living two lives right now? Because I'm having this one experience and then I just flip to another experience. Even though I'm still in this body in the same place here, you know.
Interesting.
I can't, I'm going to sound weird, but I just can't explain that. But it's just sort of like, you know, is this a dual personality or is...
No, it's not. It's perfectly, that's a not surprisingly, that is, I would say very surprisingly, that's a not uncommon experience. Usually it lasts for just a short period of time, minutes or even less than minutes. But people will suddenly find themselves on a street that they think they've been to before, and instantly they'll be in that lifetime on that street. Or they'll find themselves riding in a car and they'll suddenly realize that they're actually in a coach. But then they're right back in the car again. And many more weird experiences are easily available to us. The problem is that our conscious mind is so... We early learn to tune this stuff out. Children see the dead all the time. Young children do, 2- or 3-year-old children do. And we call them their imaginary playmates, but they're almost always dead relatives. That's been my experience in investigating those situations. My granddaughter was the one in our family who was always around my mother-in-law, who was her great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm. And then you hear the stories of, you know, because the adults will tell them, no, you know, they'll shut that down, in a way shut that down, because they're told, no, you can't possibly be seeing grandma, you know.
That's right. So, that's exactly right. Yes, tragically.
Yeah, so they learn early on that they can't share this, and then they lose that ability. We just tune it out.
Yes.
There was something else you said in your book. This might change the topic a little more, so if you had something on that.
Well, I was just going to add that the dead, although they're at a higher vibratory rate, they can easily lower their vibratory rate to ours. And that's why it's possible for them very easily to compare to us as visions, which is what the children are seeing. And the children are so into the vision that they actually have a relationship going. But there are a lot of estimates that by almost 50% of people who lose a spouse will see a vision of that spouse in the first year after the death. It's close. It's like 48%.
Well, and how much of that is a vision or in dreams?
Well, usually, I think the literature says vision. Mm-hmm. It's very common to see, while you're awake, a vision of a person who has died. This is not uncommon at all. Mm-hmm. And it's frankly much, it's as life-transforming as a near-death experience, but nobody talks about it. It is anathema to science for some reason. It is anathema to mainstream science to think that we could survive our deaths. They fight that possibility, which is tragic because it keeps people from knowing the truth about what they are. And it's going to end. It'll end in this century, whether early or late, I'm not sure, but it's going to end in this century. Everybody will know this stuff.
Well, and something you said in your book, too, that like the elderly, we're so drugged up now, you know, eliminate the pain that, and being in nursing homes, they're so sedated that the usual visitations that people who are near, you know, approaching their death, they used to, because they'd be in their homes, being taken care of people that they would see, you know, their mother, father, whoever, come to them. And you said it's not happening as much now because people are so sedated.
Yes. They probably have the experiences, but we aren't able to share in them, and they aren't able to communicate what they're seeing. It's a universal experience, or it seems to be, that everybody who's dying will be visited by loved ones, one or more. Sometimes it's a party around the bed. People who have died will come. They'll initially appear in the upper corners of the room, often come down into the room and interact with the person who's dying. And if you're with someone who's dying and they're just gazing at a spot, often an upper corner, they're not, you know, zoned out. They're communicating in their minds with the people who've come for them. The wonderful, wonderful Raymond Moody, who coined the term near-death experience, coined in his 2010 book, Glimpses of Eternity, he coined the term shared deathbed visions. And that's not uncommon either. People who are very close emotionally to the dying person and maybe a little bit psychic will share in the visit that happens, the visits that come from the dead that happen around the bedside. And he wrote his book, Glimpses of Eternity, is great for that.
Yeah, and I was, I had a thought that just went away.
Can I finish about deathbed visions? That term was coined in a 1926 book called Deathbed Visions by Sir William Barrett, who was he was later knighted for his work. He in Britain, his wife was a nurse, and she started talking about these people who would see the dead before they died. So he investigated it, and what he found, this, as I say, the book was in 1926, what he found was that this was happening, and nobody was talking about it. It was either everybody knew it happened, or they just didn't talk about it. But back then, according to him, of course, that was before antibiotics, young people were dying a lot of diphtheria or other easily preventable illnesses. And they would have spectacular experiences, and they would talk about them over days of time. The walls would disappear, and they would actually be in the next level of reality and talk about what they could see. So I recommend that book, Deathbed Visions. I don't think it's in print. It hasn't been since the 20s, but I found a copy, and you may be able to find one in a bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then some people, like my mother, had her experience was just very inward, and you know, she wasn't looking around. She was so far away, you could tell. Like if you talked to her, she had to come from a long distance. It seemed like, you know, to come and interact with us.
If she was sedated, that would explain.
No, she
that.
Wasn't. No, she wasn't sedated.
Well, then,
she wasn't in pain.
Well, then she was already. One of the things that they tell us, and I've not seen this because I don't attend actually many deaths, but people who are interacting with the people around the bed, once the people who are coming for them are there, they become so involved with interacting with them that they basically lose contact with the living. And that may be what she was experiencing. She was deep into this new relationship. Renewal of a relationship with the people she loved who had come for her. So that's not surprising.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. A friend that died recently, she ended up in a dream, and it wasn't like she came to me. I felt like I went to where she was because of just the nature of the dream. So it was quite fascinating because I was like, I don't want to say her name, you know, but, you know, Carol, is that you here? Anyway, it's time to have to go on a break. This is Chris Danis. We're going to come back in a moment and talk more about the death and dying process.
Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
If you look on the back of a Galeos dressing label, you'll see one taste and you're hooked for life. And you know what? That's the truth. I love this stuff. Try mixing the Caesar dressing with broccoli and sunflower seeds for a simple and delicious salad. Visit GaleosCafe.com and order your dressings online. That's GaleosCafe.com.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, THYNE.com.
The Women of Wisdom Fall Festival is right around the corner. Join them at the North Seattle Community College Conference Center October 11th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Free admission. Festivities include a silent auction, healers, educational booths, delicious food, and a variety of vendors. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month. in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Would you like to be a question with anything that comes up in your body or mind? Would you like to become totally aware and begin to function as the conscious being you truly are? Join Access Certified Facilitator Glenna Rice every month for a live teleclass where you can ask all of your questions and learn to create change in any aspect of your life. Visit GlennaRice.com today to learn more and don't miss the next call. Join the questionable conversation today at GlennaRice.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Roberta Grimes. And Roberta, let's just keep talking about this topic about the dying process. And now you bring in, and you did mention in the beginning, you bring in the aspect of physics and how that relates.
I never even took physics in high school. I had no interest in it at all. But what happened was that and I'm not the only one, all of us discovered that there is a physics which is very consistent across the greater reality where the dead reside. There are 6 afterlife levels below what's called the source level, and the physics there is very different from here, but it's consistent in all the tales they tell us. Number one, you can go anywhere you want just by thinking you want to be there. It happens instantaneously. Number two, the matter there is created by mind. It's thought into existence, and it's permanent. There are other things, too. So what the heck is that? Fortunately, in the early part of this century, there began to be several very good quantum physics for dummies books produced. And if there were a dummy about physics, it would be me. So I gravitated to that, and as did other people. And what we discovered was afterlife levels really are a variant of the physics that we call quantum physics that is active on this level. I think, in fact, that quantum physics is a plug. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, it's so odd. I keep hearing these weird noises. I think that quantum physics is a plug that connects the physics of this level of reality, which is sort of not mind-affected at all, with the physics of the greater reality where the dead reside, which is entirely consciousness-based. Basically, it's the third wave of physics. We've already found it. We're waiting now for the physicists to catch up. Some of them have, in fact. Thomas Campbell is one. There are others who have come to understand that reality in its totality is consciousness-based, and that's the next wave of physics. But most physicists don't want to go there because they're still at war with religion, and they don't want to find God. Isn't that sad and tragic that's basically what we've devolved to in the area of science? We just don't want religion to win.
Yes, it's fascinating. And in understanding this physics, a lot of quantum physics is, for some of us, in lay terms, it's sort of a quandary of what are we talking about when we talk about quantum physics?
It was an advantage, actually, not to have studied Newtonian physics, because I didn't have that in my head. Quantum physics... I'm not the person to give any kind of a detailed explanation, but when quantum physicists do their experiments, they find, for example, that two particles, subatomic particles that are synchronized, if you then separate them, they'll act together even though there's no communication between them, and they're too far apart for communication to be immediate anyway. Einstein called this spooky action at a distance. But what it really says is that on that level, there is no such thing as space. They're not separate. You separate them, but they're not separated. And there probably is no such thing as time either. Both Einstein and Max Planck, who's my hero, who got the Nobel Prize for quantum physics in 1918, both of them talked about time as being, you know, basically a convenience. Einstein said it's just what keeps everything from happening at once. But in addition, there are quantum physics experiments which indicate that people almost, their minds create what matter. If they do an experiment looking for something to be energy, it'll be energy. If they do the same experiment and what they were looking for is a particle of matter, they'll get a particle of matter. This is something very profound and amazing, but the implications of it, I don't think scientists have fully understood. They're still thinking of it as math is important to them still, which is very strange to me because it doesn't seem to matter at all on the afterlife levels.
So how does that all relate to then the aspect of dying?
Well, when we understand the physics of the greater reality, we can have a better, much better understanding of where we're going and how the process works. There's no time there. There's no distance there. It appears to me that the scientists have actually found the afterlife levels. They have come to a conclusion that only 5% of reality is what they're actually studying. 95% of the universe is what they call dark matter and dark energy because it doesn't interact with photons of light, with material light. Well, 27% of the universe is dark matter. And that's roughly the 6-to-1 ratio we would assume if all the levels of post-death reality were the same size as this level of reality. So I think they basically found it, but they just don't understand what they've found, so they're ignoring it.
it helps us understand where we're going
and what happens when we get there. I think it's very important to become comfortable with that because it's quite different from where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in your book, you talk about, I don't remember the term you use, but like different levels that you go through different stages when you die. Can you explain some of that? You know, that you go and there's different vibrational levels and that you almost are in school there to learn more.
Yes. I know this is going to sound strange to you or to people listening, but it turns out that vibratory rate that you have in the afterlife levels is directly related to your level of spiritual development. It's a spiritual vibratory rate. And if you have really learned to love and forgive, and I mean amazingly well, you could end up on level 5 of the afterlife. I don't think anyone goes higher initially. If you've had an okay life and you've not done anything awful, you'll probably end up on level 3. Level 2 is kind of not a pleasant place. It's almost a purgatory-ish place, but it's not as bad as level 1. The lowest level of the afterlife is what Jesus called the outer darkness. It's cold, dark, smelly, and disgusting. It's the punishment level. You can't get out of it by yourself. It's horrible. Everybody around you looks like a demon, and so do you. It's the worst thing you could possibly imagine, and the evidence is overwhelming that we put ourselves there. We're never judged by anybody other than ourselves. But if you can forgive yourself for the things you've done wrong in life, you can stay on level 3 or even go to level 4 or level 5. It all depends on how well you've learned to love and forgive. That's all we're here for, most of us. So learn.
Well, you said you can't get out of level 1 by yourself, but it takes forgiveness to do it.
The problem is that we aren't, the reason we're there is because we were not able to forgive ourselves for things we had done in life. And there's rescuing going on all the time. A lot of sort of very more advanced, loving and forgiving folks who once they die, they're immediately taken under the wing of a more advanced being and taken to level 1 and allowed to have the opportunity to try to rescue people because for some reason they can more readily perceive people who have recently died than they can perceive people who are more advanced and have been there longer. I don't know why that's true, but the whole trick is getting their attention. They are so deep in they're mired in their own misery, they can't even perceive the people who are trying to rescue them. So once someone gets their attention, then usually they can be helped gradually to forgive themselves a little better, get to level 2, maybe then make it to level 3. But even though there's no time, it takes a lot of time to get people, to rehabilitate people who have fallen that deep in the spiritual hierarchy.
And there was a movie kind of like that.
It's better to learn here. If we learn here, we will never get there.
Yeah. What, so I think the main message I get from your book, too, is the act of forgiveness, and that, which means even on this plane, you know, that the more you can do here, and the hardest thing is forgiving yourselves. And, yeah. and that is true. And, you know, and after reading your book, I was like, okay, you know, I can really work on the self-forgiveness thing. And, and because our mind just, you know, rattles on and on and on of judging ourselves and blaming ourselves and then projecting onto others, blaming others is really blaming ourselves.
Exactly. Cause we can't bear to blame ourselves. The problem is that forgiveness is like a muscle. If you learn to forgive automatically, and I give some pointers in The Fun of Dying about how to begin that process, and it's easier and easier the more you do it. No matter what people have done to you, if you can learn to automatically forgive, then when you have your life review, which is the problem, because we're going to get to not just review our whole lives, we're going to get to feel every emotion that we made other people feel in our whole lives. Think about that. All the people whose yeah. feelings you hurt, everybody you didn't help when you could have helped them, you're going to get to feel how you made them feel. And it's that experience that makes people unable to forgive themselves.
Right.
The people
right.
who have been through
well,
it, let's,
we're
going to
take
the hardest
a little break
thing you've ever
and we'll
done.
Come back and discuss this okay. a little more. It's Chris Stainis, and we'll just take a short break right now.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Ari Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Ari has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Ari party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
The Women of Wisdom Fall Festival is right around the corner. Join them at the North Seattle Community College Conference Center, October 11th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Free admission. Festivities include a silent auction, healers, educational booths, delicious food, and a variety of vendors. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Holistique Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistique Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'd like to share with you a recipe directly from my friends at Galeo's Cafe website. Try this barbecue lamb marinade and Galeo's miso marinade. Get your lamb shoulder cut into cubes and put into a deep dish. Add salt and pepper to taste, then fresh garlic. Yum! 3 tablespoons of olive oil and 6 tablespoons of Galeo's miso sesame seed dressing marinade, and leave overnight in the refrigerator. The Galeo's miso dressing will bring out the best taste of the lamb and make it very, very tender. Then you can barbecue the next day. This recipe is directly from Chef Andre himself, so we know it's going to be delicious. For more information and to order your dressing today, visit GaleosCafe.com. That's GaleosCafe.com. Or ask for the dressings at your local grocery store. Remember, shipping is free.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I've been talking with Roberta Grimes, and she's author of The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and we've been talking about that. But first, I just want to remember to tell you to mark your calendars for our 23rd Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. It's February 12th through the 16th. Our main keynote speaker is going to be Jean Shinoda Bolen. I interviewed her a couple weeks ago, and she has this new book on Artemis, which is fabulous, about the archetype of the indomitable spirit in every woman and the activist archetype. And I'm also going to have two people that I've interviewed on my show. You've heard them. It's the healer Patty Conklin and also Penny Pierce, who's the author of Frequency and Leap of Perception. And they're going to be giving intensive workshops during the conference so we can really work on healing aspects of ourselves in a longer format. And also consider to bring your art to Woman of Wisdom. You can be a vendor in our marketplace. The deadline is October 15th. Just go to www.womenofwisdom.org and click on Conference 2015. If you need a little more time, just email us because we can, you know, we have a little leeway of accepting your applications. But just to let you know the deadline is coming up soon. So, Patty, I'd love for you to give your contact information, website, where people can find out about you, and if you have anything to offer people that's on your website. Or
My website is robertagrimes.com, and I'd love to have people come and read my blog. I blog about these things and in more detail, really, than I can do on the radio show, but it's very important that we begin to understand what reality is. I do a weekly internet radio show called Seek Reality, and the podcasts are available on iTunes for free. Just look for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. And we have 130,000 subscribers after a year, so a lot of people want this information. They're not getting it from either science or their, you know, religious traditions, and it's important to start to really know what truth is. So just come to robertagrimes.com and, you know, let's be friends. Let's talk about what the truth is.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think, I know it's been on my mind this summer, and I know a lot of people, you know, if we're dealing with loved ones dying and stuff, that I just been aware of death being on my mind, and you know, a lot of people in baby boomer ages that are you know, we're looking or seeking or wondering, all that.
Yes, so, it's the next, that's our next big thing, and we're always into the next big thing, right? That's right.
So and then one of the questions that you gave me is like, you know, if about, because we were talking about this, afterlife is right where we are. It's just another dimension, another vibration. Then, you know, the question of why we aren't aware of it, because we get so locked into being visual and what is real is what we see in front of us.
Our material senses are very limited. When you think about how difficult it is for a sound to get to us that goes, you know, through hammer, anvil, and stirrup, three little bones and a bunch of hairs, and that's how we get sounds. Sounds there are much, much clearer. And the same is true with our eyes. Our eyes are a very limited and difficult way to get information. They tell us things that are not true all the time. People could write a whole discourse on how limited the information is that comes through our eyes. In fact, I read somewhere that like more than half of what we think we're seeing actually isn't coming through our eyes. Our mind is filling it in. So basically, our minds are constructing this reality literally and for us individually without our even being aware that's what's happening. Young children, as we've said, don't have that problem as much because they're more credulous. They don't question what they see. But if you're regularly seeing spirits, and many people are, you can screen them out and not see them. And that's what many people just choose to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it can freak you out a little bit. You don't know what to do.
Right. And just plain, I can't deal with it. And you may not even know consciously that you're doing that, but opening yourself to knowledge is very important. The Spun of Staying in Touch just came out, and I'm already hearing from people who in the last week have read the book and suddenly understand the signs that their dead loved ones have been giving them all along, and they had no idea that that's what was happening. It's important to, I think all of us need to really open ourselves to try to understand what's true. I mean, that's basic, it seems to be, to living. And what we're not being told what's true, so it's up to us to figure it out ourselves. This is a start.
Mm-hmm. So, and all this, too, it's and one of the purposes of your book is to understand the meaning and purpose of our lives.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, to understand the nature of God, which we are able to pretty much figure out, and which God does not have a beard, God is not material, and God does not have human imperfections. That's really all I need to say about that, but there's more about it in the book. And human nature is essentially exactly God nature. Our minds are part of the eternal source. They're not made like or similar to our creation of the eternal source. As Max Planck, the great quantum physicist, said, his experiments prove human consciousness is primary and pre-existing. It's part of God. Your mind is part of God. That's one reason why it's eternal. And therefore, you are perfectly good. The reason you don't think you are is that your mind is infinitely creative, and it's created this less perfect reality, but you can overcome it. And that's part of learning all of this. It's the start of the process by which we all overcome the imperfections that are not our true nature. And we return to who we really are.
Mm-hmm. And that's, also, I think, kind of reaching out to what's that universal consciousness of,
yes,
beyond what we perceive our reality to be, that it's,
cosmic,
things are greater and
sometimes
we're bigger than
it.
We think we are.
Extraordinarily so. And we have access to a tiny part of our brains, of our minds, through our conscious brains while we're here. We have much more mind than that. I call it a superconscious because it's not subconscious, it's superconscious. And the dead can access more of their minds. So the dead can do things we can't do with this. They can move matter with relative ease on this level. They just don't do it because they don't want to screw us up totally when we see these things walking around the house. But they can do that, and we will be able to do that too once we transition.
Mm-hmm. So what are some parting words you have a minute to just share, for people to relieve their anxiety about dying, so to speak?
Death is nothing to fear. Your mind is eternal. It can't die. Don't think of yourself as immortal because that's defining you in terms of death. Instead, think of yourself as eternal. You never began. You never will end. And you're part of the source. You are infinitely loved. The amount of love that is that each of us owns by birthright is more than you can possibly imagine. So there's nothing to fear. It's all good.
It's all good. I remember having a meditation experience where I sort of just leaned back and there was just this exploding love and light and an amazing feeling.
Yes. Well, that's our birthright. To feel that way all the time is our birthright. And we truly are eternal. Death is impossible for your mind. It cannot die.
Yes. Well, it was so great to have you on the show today, Roberta.
I'm so glad to have been here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and for all that knowledge, and people check out her website and her blog, robertagrimes.com.
And
would like to leave everyone with this thought of, what is my thought? Well, just to look at death in a whole new way, just to be open about what that might mean to you. So I'm Christina. I'm the founder of the Women Wisdom Conference and Women Wisdom Foundation, and also have a book. It's an Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And it's inspirational stories, art, poetry from women, many diverse women that have been at our conference and participants and creators of the conference and presenters. So it's a wonderful book. And also remember that the conference Goddess Market, the marketplace, is open for applications, and that deadline's coming up soon. And mark your calendars to come to the conference February 12th through the 16th in Seattle. Seattle's a great place to be in February. It might be cold and snowy and pretty yucky where you are, so come to Seattle. And join us tomorrow if you're in the Seattle area. Join us at North Seattle Community College for our fall festival. And check out my website, www.chrysalisleadership.com. I have classes in how you can unleash the powerful leader within, empowerment circles for women, the courses in circle leadership, which is a model, powerful model when we change our, how we can change our processes and infrastructure from hierarchical to circular, inclusive, collaborative, so we can change the world and make an impact on how we are living in this world. Next week, I will be interviewing Silva Dvorak. She's a co-author of Your Hidden Riches, Unleashing the Power of Ritual to Create a Life of Meaning and Purpose. Well, thank you so much for being on listening to the show today. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
The Women of Wisdom Fall Festival is right around the corner. Join them at the North Seattle Community College Conference Center, October 11th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Free admission. Festivities include a silent auction, healers, educational booths, delicious food, and a variety of vendors. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womenofwisdom.org.
If you look on the back of a GLaOS dressing label, you'll see one taste and you're hooked for life. And you know what? That's the truth. I love this stuff. Try mixing the Caesar dressing with broccoli and sunflower seeds for a simple and delicious salad. Visit GLaOSCafe.com and order your dressings online. That's GLaOSCafe.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, and I'm here to rave about my favorite dressing and marinade, GLaOS Marinades. As hearty vegetables such as Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, and pumpkin replace the waning fruits of summer on supermarket produce displays, when I want to add that special touch to my fall dishes, I reach for GLaOS Miso. Whether it's the Miso Caesar, Dijonnet, Ginger Wasabi, and the newcomer, Southwest, I know that I'm going to prepare a fabulous dish. GLaOS dressings, which are made with all natural ingredients, have no MSG, MSG and are gluten-free and should all be part of a well-stocked kitchen pantry. But perhaps the miso Caesar adds a special something to fall's bountiful harvest. The culinary masterminds behind Galeo's miso dressing, chefs Andre and Gordana, have just developed several of their favorite easy-to-prepare and healthy fall recipes that include their miso Caesar dressing. So visit galeoscafe.com. That's G-A-L-E-O-S cafe.com for your special fall dish.